acceptance is a two-way street. It doesn't just go one way. At the core of that is a piece of belonging. How do we ultimately create a space where people feel like they can step into their full power in the role to do their best work because they're supported to do that?
And they know how to be a good colleague to peers.
Hi, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another one of our series on servant leadership here at Celent. As you are aware, we're talking about the importance of servant leadership as our leadership philosophy here at Celent, and trying to create these videos as tools to help people better understand and create some context around really the five ways of being in servant leadership, which are the importance of us as servant leaders to be vulnerable, to be authentic, to be present, to be accepting, and to be useful. Today, we're going to talk about being accepting. Being accepting in a nutshell is really this notion that at Celent, we really want people to bring their full and true selves to our work. And so as leaders, we need to learn to be accepting of who they are, what their impressions, feelings, background, opinions are on things. And we need to foster a very collaborative and engaging culture where people feel comfortable to share their feelings and their opinions. And in order for them to do that, they need to feel accepted. They need to feel trusted. And that's our job as leaders, is to create that high level of trust so people can bring their differences of opinions, their disagreements. On our executive team, we talk a lot about the importance of what we call, quote unquote, staying in conflict. So this notion that it's not super helpful if everybody just goes along and gets along. We really want to hear different opinions. We want to hear disagreement. We want to stay in conflict in some of those sticky places so that we come out the other side better informed, better aligned, and ultimately a better decision. And that doesn't happen if people don't feel accepted and trusted to bring those disagreements and those differences of opinion. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about being accepting as a servant leader. And it's, again, the responsibility of the leader to be accepting of those that we are leading and those on our team so that they are comfortable enough to bring their full selves, that they know that they are seen and heard and that their opinion matters, even if it's not the same as my opinion. And that's how we create a culture where we get, I think, the best out of our team. So that's the idea in a nutshell. And I'm really psyched to be joined by Elisa Washington today to help us talk a little bit about that. Just for some context, I've had the chance to get to know Elisa over the last year or so. She is the president and CEO, I think I have your title right.
That's
right. Seattle Foundation. For those of you who are familiar with the Celent Community Foundation and our work in investing in the community and our work in philanthropy, our community foundation and our funds at the Community Foundation are housed at the Seattle Foundation. And so Seattle Foundation manages many individuals and families and companies' philanthropic giving in the community. And they have been a great partner in our work at the Celent Community Foundation. And over the course of the last year, I've had the chance to meet Elisa, who's a new leader there. And we've become pals and shared a lot of our own leadership journeys along the way. And so she was kind enough to accept my invitation to join us in this conversation and chat a little bit about servant leadership and about this notion of, you know, how do we as leaders do what we can to get the most out of our teams, and what's the importance that we see in being accepting. So a little background there. Maybe Elisa, let you talk a little bit about yourself and your background and the Seattle Foundation, just for those listening, have a little better idea of the work you're doing.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Scott. And, you know, I have to say, the feeling is mutual. I have enjoyed getting to know you. I've enjoyed kind of our friendship and partnership that is starting to build. And I have definitely enjoyed getting to know about the organizational partnership we have with the philanthropy that Celent does in the community and how we can help you through that. So great on all fronts, all the way around, and just honored that you asked me to be here today to talk with your team and talk with folks around things that you're focusing on at the company. But, you know, I began my journey 18 months ago from Cleveland, Ohio, where I was born and raised and spent my life and my career largely in the government relations realm at the lobbyist. So I've done a lot in politics and around policy, working with folks on both sides of the aisle across a variety of issues that impact communities and also just the strength of cities as a whole, and took that experience into philanthropy my last few years, really kind of in the lead up to what we now know was a global pandemic that changed the world for all of us. I was working for a private family foundation on a lot of the same issues around community, economic development, democracy, but through the lens of philanthropy and grant making and how to invest in other organizations to do that work well. All of that led me to a point then of something called Seattle Foundation that started calling and asking if I was interested in having a conversation around a new leadership role, which at first I was not, but then I became intrigued as I thought more about Seattle's place in the world at that moment, especially in 2020 and all that was going on, but also the opportunity to lead more deeply in philanthropy. And so that convinced me more than a year ago, almost 2 years ago now, to leave my home in Cleveland, Ohio, to move to Seattle, to start a new life here, but also to take over as the new leader at Seattle Foundation. Seattle Foundation is simply a large community foundation in this region that focuses on how do we partner with others that have resources and wealth, do good in community. And so also through our strategic grant making that we can do, help inform others about the good work that's happening here across a variety of issues and how they can get involved and how they can invest. We've been doing that for 75 years. We manage a little over $1 billion in assets across a number of different funds and individuals that invest with us. And that equates to about a little more than $200 billion every year that goes into the community, largely from our donor advised funds, which includes Celent Philanthropy, and then a small percentage of that, which our funds manage in house for corporate making that our team does.
So as you, when you took over at Seattle Foundation, you're coming in there, how did you think about sort of what you wanted to achieve, where you saw the opportunities to improve or change? How did you tackle that work? And you obviously adopted a brand new team. And what did that work look like?
Really two core things. The first was starting connecting with my team, just because, you know, I am the first out of state CEO to take helm of Seattle Foundation. All the other leadership have been from this community. And so recognizing that I was coming in, you know, as a quote unquote outsider, taking the time to really listen and to learn and understand people's fears, their aspirations, what they were sitting with was really important. And I started that with my team because I believe that organizations are only as strong as the people that work there. So if the people aren't well, the organization's not well. So I started with them to get a sense of wellness and where things were. And then I started to spend time with a kind of broader community of support. So our grantees, our fund holders, our civic partners, and just really listening and taking in how people viewed the foundation, how they thought about this community, the challenges that they saw, the opportunities that they wanted to pursue, and what role could I as an individual play, but then also as a leader of this institution play in supporting those things. That was first and foremost for me. The second, recognizing that, again, old institution that has done tremendous work around philanthropy, but from an operational standpoint, had its fair share of challenges. Not unique just to Seattle Foundation. This is kind of broader in the community foundation sector. We were all built with a certain type of model to do whatever our donors wanted. The world has changed dramatically since 75 years, so almost a century ago, to communities are holding us more accountable in how we show up in the work and what we focus on and stretching into new areas and capabilities. We didn't think about how to resource that well. And so operationally, I had to get my handle around kind of what is the model today? Where are we earning money, so to speak? Where are we losing money? And what were the opportunities and also the challenges we had to build kind of a 100 to 200 day plan to address to ensure that this institution would be operationally sound and strong for the next 75 years. So easy peasy, right? But like in between building community and building trust with kind of those that I would be working with and really assessing the operations and building a strong business plan. That's where I've spent my time since I've come.
Pivoting a minute back to kind of our conversation on being accepting, this notion that, you know, as leaders, it's incumbent upon us to show up without judgment and to put some of our own biases aside if we're really going to get the best out of the people we're leading and the people on our teams. And how have you seen that play out in your work? Or how do you think about that notion as a leader?
I mean, I think about it all the time. I think this is kind of one of the central challenges and opportunities for a community foundation that's very different from even private philanthropy that may have a small board, but really yield a lot of power to its staff. And there aren't really any, there isn't the same kind of accountability in a private foundation as it is with a community foundation, because by nature of the name, right, we're trying to encompass in our community. And so as a leader within the institution, even with my board, I think Seattle Foundation is healthiest when our team and our board in particular are kind of a microcosm of the broader community that exists here. And so that means having very different perspectives, lived experiences, just all kinds of folks that are here with capabilities and talent to do the work. Because if we were all homogenous in our thinking and our points of view, I think we're very limited then in what we can achieve. And so my ability to kind of hear people's experiences, where they're coming from and how that informs their work, is critical to helping me then know how to interact with them. But the expectation and the accountability is that they have to do the same with me, and we have to do the same with each other, right? Like acceptance is a two-way street. It doesn't just go one way, right? And I loved it, even learning about the way that you all focus on serving leadership and acceptance, is that at the core of that is a piece of belonging. How do we ultimately create a space where people feel like it's not just diverse, but it is truly inclusive, and that they belong, and that they can step into their full power in the role to do their best work, that they're supported to do that, and they know how to be a good colleague to their peers to do the same.
Awesome. I love your quote there about acceptance is a two-way street. Really, that's such a true statement, and it's incumbent on us as leaders to be accepting of the folks on our team, and for them to accept us and others, if we're really going to get to a high level of trust, where people do feel like they're heard, they're seen, they're accepted, they belong, their opinion matters, even if it's not the same opinion as the person, there are others around the table. It's really valuable to have that discourse in its truest form, right? If you're going to get to great relationships and really do impactful work. So back to you a little bit. Give me an example of sort of what you've learned about yourself since you've been here in this role, and what are you most proud of in terms of what you've achieved over the last year or so?
I'd say that I'm stronger than what I give myself credit for in a lot of ways. I mean, I think about what these 18 months have been in terms of stepping into a new leadership role, again, as a first-time CEO, managing and supporting more than 50 staffs, all kinds of expectations in this community about what the foundation should be and where we should be involved, and how that even relates to me directly as the new person in this role. And I don't know anybody, and I'm building relationships with everyone. My ability to navigate that with this team through some pretty tough times, to now be getting settled in a place where we feel stable, or we're getting solid, and I feel like I have a better command of what's playing out in this community and the role that I can play. All of that taught me that I was stronger than what I do, and how important my faith is to me in terms of grounded me to, like, just be honest with, like, I don't know how we're gonna do this, but we're just gonna try. And I'm gonna believe that it will work out on the other end of it. Sometimes it does work, and I think it's got, as a leader, you don't have all the answers all the time. And
for sure,
that's a part of being human. And I think part of us as leaders to have acceptance with ourselves about where we're best and where we're not, but then how do you surround yourself with good people to fill out your gaps, so then you're actually moving collectively as a team. Being able to do all of that in this first year more taught me a lot.
Really cool. It's so true too. We need to be accepting of ourselves and be back to the sort of being authentic piece. Really know what we care most about and what we're good at, and what we're not our best at, and how do we build teams around us that help shore up the places that are not our strengths, right? And that's ultimately what creates a great team. What advice do you have for people earlier in their careers who might be thinking about how to chart their own path and how to connect sort of the passions in their life into their work, into their life? What advice do you have for emerging leaders at Cellon?
Learn to distinguish the signal from the noise. I think that's really important for young leaders and new leaders in particular. And I mean that in the sense of, we can get drowned in our own thoughts about if we're good enough, if we're capable of going for that promotion, if we're really going to do well on that project the way we thought, if we should ask for the raise or not, right? There's always these things that sometimes can get in our head and tell us we're not good enough or not worth that. And I've learned, and I encourage others to just listen for the signal, not the noise, that you actually are more powerful than you're giving yourself credit for. And so ask for the raise, take on the big project and do it with excellence. Don't be afraid to say what you don't know, and take the chance on the things that really matter to you. You always want to surround yourself with good people, your own kind of personal board of directors, so to speak, that can guide you and provide expertise and also just experience from their own careers that can help you not make the same mistakes. But go for it. If it's in your heart, if it's a passion, build a plan and go for it, because you're more powerful than you know.
Awesome, awesome advice. Thank you, Leisha. It's been such a treat to have you part of this. And I've really enjoyed our budding friendship over the last year or so. And it's awesome. I'm really glad you're in Seattle.